Well, we are verse 33 of the fifth chapter. And in these last few sections, he has been contrasting how the Pharisees had in many times misapplied or misinterpreted the Old Testament. And so Jesus comes and says, this is how I want my disciples to live. And he's talked about anger, he's talked about lust, he's talked about divorce, he's talked about adultery. So he's talked about a number of things, and now he starts talking about oaths. Oaths were a very, very important part of the law of Moses. And we'll read a little bit about that in a minute. But it was very serious during that time. Very, very serious. God made it serious. And he meant for his people to be honest people. So when we look at verse 33, it says, again, you've heard that it was said to those of old. And they know that's how he's kind of started several of these sections. You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Taking an oath or swearing, as it's used both in that verse, it's used in both ways. Basically, it's a way of verifying your words as being true. In other words, what I'm getting ready to say is the truth. So when people would say, I swear, I'm taking an oath, they were saying that what I'm saying is the absolute truth. And so they were verifying it. And especially during the time of the Old Testament, they would verify it by referring to God or some sacred person, depending on whether they were an Israelite or whoever. But that's what they would do. And so it was their way, if you want to call it that, of verifying what they were saying. So let's look at a few of those places. First of all, let's go back to Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30. And there we'll read the first one we come to, and we'll see that it was something very serious. Numbers 30. And it is verse 2. Would someone read that when they get there? Numbers, the 30th chapter, the second verse, and then we'll go to Deuteronomy.
If a man makes a vow to the Lord, or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth.
All right. If he makes a vow or swears an oath, and notice he says, to bind himself. See, it was a way of binding. And he calls it by binding yourself to some agreement, like a contract, like some sort of covenant, maybe, that they were making. He shall not break his word. See, that's what this was all about, was being honest. And he shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Whatever he says he's going to do, he needs to do. So we'll see something similar in Deuteronomy 23. So let's go to Deuteronomy 23 now. And we'll look at verse 21. Actually, read all the way through verse 23. All of that talks about the same thing. 21 through 23 of Deuteronomy 23.
Okay. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which is gone from your lips you shall keep and perform. For you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth.
Notice some of the words he talks about in this. You'll not delay to pay it. The Lord will require it of you. It would be sin to you. What's gone from your lips you shall keep and perform. What you've promised with your mouth. So it was all, you know, it was about integrity, it was about honesty, about being truthful, all of that. So all of those things, these oaths were very common among the Jews. And there were all kinds of vows that they would take, public vows, legal vows, different kinds of vows that they would perform. And the punishment for failing to keep a vow was very serious. I mean, they, like I said, they took this very serious. Like breaking a contract, breaking a covenant, not keeping your vow, not keeping your oath. It was very serious to those people. It was something that would be strictly enforced. So if you're still in Deuteronomy, go back to the 19th chapter. And let's see where it starts. Yeah, verse 16 says this. Deuteronomy 19:16. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. It was very serious to lie. False testimony, false witness. So it was a very, very serious charge. There's other places too that talk about not doing what you said you were going to do. You were lying, being dishonest. Those things, like I said, were very, very serious. Well, Jesus is saying, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely. And they weren't supposed to. But you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. So it was something that they knew about. Okay, and remember, one of the things he's doing here is the Pharisees and some of the rabbis and different ones had taken the law of Moses, which was good. Remember, Paul even says that in Romans, I think it's the 7th chapter, that the law was good. That was good. Well, many of the Jews, the teachers, rabbis, many of the Pharisees had taken the old law and turned it into something that it wasn't meant to be. We'll see that when he talks about retaliation in a minute and some of the others too. So he's not saying that the law of Moses was bad. He's saying that people had turned it into something it wasn't supposed to be. And so the Jews, many of them, had taken these verses on vows and oaths and turned them into something that they weren't supposed to be. A lot of the Jews, or at least many of them, would say, well, if they didn't do what they said they were going to do, well, I didn't vow to do it, or I didn't use God's name, so therefore it's okay that I didn't keep my word. See, that's one of the things that Jesus is teaching against here. They would say, yes, I'm going to do such and such, or I'm going to pay such and such. Well, if they didn't swear by God that they were going to do it, they thought it was okay that they didn't do it. And so Jesus is teaching against that way of thinking. He says, you don't have to swear by God because you're supposed to do what you said you were going to do, period. Didn't make any difference. You're supposed to be true and honest and trustworthy and faithful. You don't have to swear by God that you're going to do this. You should do it anyway. So again, Jesus is trying to reteach what the old law had said. The old law had been perverted and misapplied and misinterpreted to try and make some of these people's lives easier, they thought. They thought they could get around things by saying that, well, I didn't swear by God's name, so my dishonesty is justified. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not. That's why he's saying, yet your yes be yes and your no, no. He said, you should be so honest and so trustworthy and people of integrity that whenever you say yes, it's yes. And whenever you say no, it's no. People should know you as being someone who's very, very honest and that keeps their word. You know, we've talked about that a little bit in Sunday morning class in Ecclesiastes 5. Solomon talks about it in that chapter as well. Same thing. About keeping your word. Keeping your promises. If you sign a contract, then you do whatever the contract says. You don't try and get out of it. You said you were going to do this, then you do it. And so that's what Jesus is teaching here. He taught this later on in Matthew 23. Let's turn over a few chapters and we'll see him saying some of the same things. Matthew 23, verse 16. And really it goes even further, but what does verse 16 say? Matthew 23, 16.
It says, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever takes an oath by the sanctuary, it means nothing. But whoever takes an oath by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by his oath."
Okay, now think about that before he explains it. See, here's some of these same Jewish leaders. He calls them blind guides, scribes, Pharisees. They're saying, well, if you swear by one thing, doesn't mean anything. But if you swear by something else, it does. See, that's what Jesus is teaching against. Jesus is teaching against this type of dishonesty. This type of lying, deception. He's teaching against it. He goes on in verse 17 and says, "Fools and blind, for which is greater? The gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold?" See, they were saying, well, if I swear by the temple, that's where God's presence was, doesn't mean anything. But if I swear by the gold, what's valuable, oh, that I have to keep that vow. See, that's why Jesus is calling them blind guides and fools. He goes on and says, "Whoever swears by the altar is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that's on it, he's obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." So he's telling them very much the same thing. Of course, this was much later in his ministry. You know, Matthew 23 is very close to his last week on earth. So he's getting close to the end of his ministry, where Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of his ministry. So there's over a 2-year gap in between Matthew 5 and Matthew 23. But he's still talking about oaths and swearing. But he's basically talking about being honest, being trustworthy. And that's what he's telling these people. Be honest and be trustworthy. James chapter 5 talks about that as well. And of course, James, that happens much, much, much later, decades later than Jesus' teaching. And James says the same thing about being honest and about being trustworthy. James says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Almost exactly what Jesus says. But James writes, you know, decades later than Jesus. And they're all saying the same thing. Yet let your yes be yes and your no, no. If it's not, James says, you fall into condemnation. Just think about all the verses in the New Testament. I know of a couple in the book of Colossians, a couple of verses that talk about being honest. Being honest. And let's go to the last book in the Bible. Let's go to Revelation. I think it's, let me see. Take me a minute to find it. Or it might be more than a minute. You never know. Okay. We may just have to start reading the whole book, then we'll find it. Let's see. Now. Oh, there it is. Revelation 21, verse 8 says this, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, some of those things we think is pretty awful. Murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, sexually immoral. And then he throws liars in with them. So, I mean, from Matthew to Revelation, over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit is revealing how Christians, really, we should be the most honest people on earth. I mean, of all groups of people, we should be the most honest. And when Jesus says our yes needs to be yes and our no needs to be no, that's exactly what it needs to be. That's exactly how we need to live. And that's what Jesus is reaffirming in Matthew chapter 5, is how honest we need to be about all these things. So he says, don't swear by heaven, it's God's throne. Don't swear by the earth, it's his footstool. Nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Don't swear by your head, because you can't do anything about your head. You can't make one hair white or black. He says, if it's more than these, it comes from the evil one. And that's a warning to take your promises, your contracts, your agreements, your words seriously. That's what it is. It's a warning to make sure that everything you say, you do everything in your power to do it. Whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. Whether it's, you know, if you owe somebody money, or if you say you're going to be somewhere, or if you're going to do this, that, or the other. Or if someone asks you a question and the truthful answer is yes, make sure that's what you say is yes. That's what he's telling them about. And there's a lot of, you know, our world is starving for people who are honest and upright and men of integrity. You know, the first election I voted in was probably Reagan's time, probably. But I don't think I've ever seen more mudslinging than I have with this election coming up in a couple of weeks. If everything that said was true, you shouldn't vote for any of them, because they're all the worst people on the planet. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it is our world is starving for people who are honest and upright, and their yes is yes and their no is no. They keep their promises. They, whatever they say they're going to do, they're going to do. And Jesus says, you know, if you're going to be my disciple, that's the kind of person you need to be. You need to be the most honest people in the world. Someone that everybody knows is honest and upright. Well, then he goes on. The next thing he talks about is retaliation. Retaliation. Now he says, you've heard that it was said. That's his phrase, you know. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And the Bible says that. All right? The Bible says that in some of the verses we read. If you read just a bit further down, I think it was the Deuteronomy one. If you read just a few verses down, it was talking about that same thing. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and so on. So when Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, the people to whom he was addressing knew that. They knew what the Bible said. But he says, but I tell you, okay? And again, a lot of law of Moses had been misapplied and abused and taken completely out of the way that God meant for it to be used. So he says, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. These are some more verses that's been, I guess the word is misused, probably as much as any of the others. The Bible in the Old Testament, there was laws about taking vengeance. You know, there was life for life. Like I said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. There were ways that that was to be done. And there were ways that it couldn't be done. There were ways it couldn't be done. So it was very regulated. Well, again, people had misused it over the years. And so Jesus is coming back and saying, this is what I expect of you. First of all, you're not to take any personal vengeance whatsoever. He says, that's not your place. It's not your place to go out and take personal vengeance. He talks about that in so many different places. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. That's what God says. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. So Jesus is teaching about that personal retaliation. There are ways to do it, just like in the Old Testament and the Old Law, and there was ways not to do it. That's the way it is today. Just the same thing. So all of that is the same as it was. And so we're not to be people who are, I guess the best word is, vengeful. Vengeful. That's not how we're supposed to be. Just like before when he talked about, you know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Well, he's not talking in a literal way. And I don't think he's talking about a literal way either here. When he talks about, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. If someone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Don't think he's talking literally there. If you have a tunic and he wants your tunic, well then go find your cloak. He is teaching a lesson about vengeance and retaliation and I guess you'd say going the second mile. That's what he's teaching. He says, if someone compels you to go 1 mile, go with them 2. And of course, back at that time, people would have known what they were talking about. Because a Roman soldier could go tell anybody to carry this stuff, to do this, take it for 1 mile. And they had to do it. If they didn't, they could be sent to jail. But that's all they could do was 1 mile. So doing it for 1 mile was being something you had to do. And then if you said, well, I can take it another mile, well, that's doing something voluntarily. So the first mile was by compulsion. The second mile was by choice. And it was totally different. And that's what he's teaching here about going the second mile. And again, literally, and Jews would do that back in the first century. They would actually stake out, like from their house, what exactly a mile was. So that if someone compelled them, they would go right there and not 1 inch further. Well, that was being compelled. But Jesus says, I want something different from my followers. I want them to be willing, if need be, to take it further. To take it further. There's certainly nothing in this that's telling us that you know, if someone comes in to rob my house, that I just give them the keys to the car and my bank account and everything else. He's certainly not teaching that. Again, he's not being literal here at all. But he's teaching a principle. Just like he has with all these others, he's teaching a principle about how he wants his people to act and live, especially in a world that's very different than he's asking them to live by. They live by very different rules, we might say, than we do. Jesus says if it's a small offense, overlook it. Overlook it. Don't be offended at small things. Don't try and go take vengeance on things that are small. Being slapped on the cheek wasn't a big deal. Wasn't a big deal. And being compelled to carry something a mile, that wasn't a big deal. So he says, don't worry about things that aren't big deals. Some things are big deals. And that's why we have civil government. All right? That's why we have, you know, parts of Romans chapter 12 and Romans chapter 13, where God has appointed civil government to be the ones who take vengeance. At least in this world. And that's why we have courts of law, and that's why we have lawyers, and that's why we have police officers, and that's why we have all of these things, is because that's the way God said do it. Not for you to go find someone and shoot them, but to go to court. If it's a big enough deal. He says if it's a small deal, overlook it and forget about it. But it's something significant. He says, use the court system. Use civil government. God said, that's why I put civil government into place. That's why we have that in the Bible, in those two chapters in Romans, to tell us that's what God's appointed. He doesn't say, you can go execute capital punishment, but the government can. You can't go get someone and lock them in your basement, but the government can take someone and put them in prison. God has appointed civil government to do those things. He's not appointed you to do them. And there are ways, he says, that is to be done. So don't you be the avenger. Let civil government in this life be the avenger. Let God in the next life be the avenger. God knows this world is not a place of justice. Hasn't been for thousands of years. Nor will it ever be. This world will never be a place of justice. Never. It's never going to be a place of equity. It's never going to be a place where everybody obeys the laws. Never. Again, that's why we have civil government. And civil government's not always just. We know that. We know people get away with crimes, but we also know people get put away for crimes they didn't commit. So both ways. So it's not a perfect system. But because we don't have perfect judges and perfect lawyers and perfect police officers, they make mistakes, so it's not going to be a just world. But God knew that, and He knows it now. But what He doesn't want is for us to be our own justice system. The reason for that is we'll make mistakes. We'll make mistakes. We'll think what we're doing is right, but it won't be right. We'll make mistakes. I mean, if a jury of 12 people can make a mistake after hearing all the evidence and all this, then it's very likely that I, by myself, who might not have hardly any of the evidence, could easily make a mistake. That's why I'm not supposed to do it. That's why I'm to leave it to civil government. And if they don't do it right, then I leave it to God. And that's what He's teaching in these few verses about personal retaliation. All right, does anybody have any comments? We're about out of time. Some extremely important verses that we need, but our world certainly needs. All right, we'll give them just a few minutes. Lord willing, we'll talk about loving our enemies next week in verse 43, and then get into probably chapter 6 as well.